I'm small.
Hey, welcome to Taking It Down. We're the Alabama Takes Preeminent Pop Culture Podcast. We're also the only pop culture podcast for the Alabama Take. We are sponsored by Moderna. Moderna. If you don't like anal swabs, think Moderna. Okay, today we're going to be talking about odds and ends to begin. But eventually we're going to get into the fourth episode of WandaVision as well as some thoughts on the recent episode of The Challenge. We don't know where this conversation is going to go today, but we're going to, you know, just buckle up. Buckle up, buckle in, stand by, stay low, stand by. Joining me as always are my co-host, probably the biggest Donald Trump fan I know, Mr. Adam Morrow, and the biggest Mike Pence fan I know, Mr. Donovan Reinwald. Guys, welcome to February.
Good to be in February. We made it. We survived. Somehow, it's been weeks since he was in power.
I wish that I had known that you were going to be plugging Moderna before I spent all my Pfizer money.
Pfizer stock? You've been playing the stock market this week?
I can't wait. That's what this segment is going to be. Dr. Morrow presents stock tips.
The man has ruined my finances via text message all week. So let's just
let me tell y'all, buy AMC and buy Man City. They're both going to the moon. That's all you need to know. Buy Man City.
You know, if you listeners, here's my advice. Put $5.50 in an old sock and bury it in your backyard. Do that enough times and you'll be fine.
I saw a tweet that said this has been a banner month for guys who like explaining things.
Yes. Yes.
Which is the last thing that we want to teeter on the edge of. Three white dudes explaining what just happened in the stock market or to the Constitution or to a pandemic.
That's good because I don't understand any of that.
Me either. The bare minimum is all I understand about any of that stuff you mentioned. And I do mean bare minimum.
So you are bearish on the stock market at this point. Is that what you're saying?
You caught my hint. Let's my thing. Okay, listeners, I know a lot of you are probably thinking about getting in the stock market after hearing all this news. Here's my advice, and it's earnest. Buy low, sell high.
Should I get into the stock market? Or should I just wait for, because FCS spring football is coming up. Should I just bet a bunch on those games?
I am big on betting on college football. So yeah. If you...
What's the safer bet?
If you check the Alabama Takes website, not this most recent season, we did not produce our football thoughts. TD and I did not. But the previous season, I had like three or four weeks in a row where I hit three games. We picked three games each. So, and I hit all three three weeks in a row or something like that. I had a really good streak. And so if you would have taken my bets and put, you know, $20 on each one, you would have... You've been ahead.
Those are good numbers. The brokerages are coming for you, Blaine. You're going to be limited to one pick per week.
I was going to say I've seen Uncut Gems, and I'm really going to miss Blaine.
What a great reference in a good movie. So you guys, we're sponsored by Moderna. Moderna. If you don't like anal swabs, think Moderna.
So what? What if you do like anal swabs?
So we're going Pfizer, right?
And you think Pfizer. Now, there is one that came that I read about. One, let me be specific for listeners. There is a anal swab. No, there is a vaccine that's only that's not as effective, right? That's going around and they're going to produce it. It's only like 50 or 60% effective. But
Johnson
still
and Johnson, yeah.
That's the one. That's the one
if you're indifferent to anal swabs.
Johnston and Johnston.
No strong feelings one way or the other.
Guys, what's been going on? How's your weekend, your pop culture weekend even, or just in general? Have you gotten an anal swab?
It's cold here.
Like, did you get snow this weekend?
We got snow a little bit before this weekend. We're supposed to get about maybe 9 inches tomorrow. Wink.
That's what I heard.
And but it's been like the highs have been like, oh, we're getting into the 20s, but it's mostly been 11 degrees. And then at night, oof, you know, it drops down to a balmy 3.
That's like Arctic.
Ah, it's cold, you know, and it's like you go outside and it's so dry. You're just like, maybe I'll let my arteries calcify instead.
So you're saying the reason that the stocks went crazy is you're all just sitting inside right now, obsessively checking your, yeah,
yes,
that makes sense. Donovan, are you heavy in Doge? Has that been your response to all this cold weather, is just to put it all on Dogecoin?
Yes. Every morning I get up and check the Doge Joan average.
So do I.
See how my now, if you want to talk about things that, like,
I'm checking it right now.
Read articles about, and I've had it explained to me, and I'm just like, that's insane. Cryptocurrency.
I understand this less now.
It seems like a good way. Like, if I was like, oh, I'm going to mine crypto, like, it seems like a good way for me to short out my entire neighborhood, like their power supply. but also, maybe it's worth it for half a Bitcoin. I don't know.
Half a Bitcoin, you'd be doing pretty good.
What is that? Like $15,000 now, something like that?
Well, let's see. A Bitcoin is, yeah, currently, as we're recording, worth $32,618.
So cryptocurrency is something I've been scared to death of for 10, 15 years now, and I'll be damned if I don't own some now.
15 years?
However long it's been around. As soon as the cryptocurrency came around, I thought, this is it. This is what will be. This will destroy our civilization.
I mean, it does seem like it's for nerds who are like, gold has inherent value.
Yeah, but I mean, if 15 years ago you hadn't been afraid and you'd put $15 on black, so to speak, you'd be a rich man now.
Well, if you chose the right currency.
If you chose Bitcoin, yeah, that'd be great. Blaine, you used to work with a fella, used to teach with a fella. I won't name names here. It's a friend of my dad who just did not understand how email worked, and he asked him. This dude's if he's not already 60, he's pushing it, maybe 65 at this point. But this was when they were younger men. At this point, he said, "Now I send you an email, and your computer's unplugged. Where's it go?" And so my dad tried to explain it to him, and he kind of just stood there and said, "I think the Lord's coming back real soon." So that's you with the crypto.
Yeah. Oh, I was, and now I own 16 of them.
16 cryptos.
16 cryptos?
Mm-hmm. The dog one.
You own the dog.
The dog one. Mm-hmm. How dumb is this?
I own 16 cryptids, but it's just the Jersey Devil, and that's the worst cryptid.
Solid investing.
Thank you.
So let's get into Disney Plus show WandaVision, which recently put up its fourth episode on Disney Plus. I was a fan of this particular episode. What it did was, for our listeners who don't want spoiled, go watch it, come back to us. But anyway, as everybody knows who's watched it, it goes away from the sitcom from 50s, 60s, 70s straight into just MCU stuff. Natalie, what'd you think about this fourth episode?
Man, I thought I could have watched a whole episode of just the return of everybody. Like, once that started, I guess they're calling it the blip or the snap or whatever.
The blip, yeah.
The blip.
Yes. I forgot.
But everybody's showing back up and, like, fading back in into the place where they were 5 years ago or whatever it is. I mean, I would take 30, 45 minutes of that.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. It was cool to see some of, like, the throwback. I guess that's not throwback, but we haven't seen Darcy in a long time. You know, bringing some new folks back in from other movies. You know, am I the biggest fan of the Darcy character? No, it's good to see her.
That was how I felt. Like, this was the episode of, like, oh yeah, they're in the MCU too. I did enjoy this episode. I'm interested to see how it's going to fit in. Was this the episode that came at just the right moment to kind of clarify everything? Or does it kill the mystique now? Remember, if you'll remember, this is the opposite of what I was complaining about last week, so I'm nothing if not inconsistent. But I actually had a lot of fun watching it. I did, I don't know, I kind of had, I like the moment when they're standing right at the sign and the cops are like, there's nothing behind us.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, as did I. You know, it's been a moment. It's been a minute since we've had an MCU movie, and this gave me a slight feel for them. You know, it kind of tempered my desire for an MCU movie. I haven't. They've become staples to me. And this pushed us right back into it. We're out of that sitcom stuff. I think one more episode of the sitcom stuff would have gotten old. Now that I see the fourth episode. But I think I'm only thinking this in hindsight. I don't, if they would have pushed another, if they would have went into the 80s with their whole sitcom stuff, I think I would have accepted it and watched it and would have been fine. But seeing them pull out of the MCU, they might have trouble with me if they try to go into another sitcom world 100%.
I think that might be part of the plan.
Go on, Natalie. What do you mean?
Sorry. I just saw an interview with Elizabeth Olsen where they were asking, of course, because her sisters are, you know, were from Full House, you know, are they going to get into the 90s and that kind of thing? And she kind of hinted that, yeah, they would. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's going to go back and forth between, you know, the real world, what's happening outside of, you know, the neighborhood. And then everything that's happening inside will still be framed as the sitcom things. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. But I feel like there were a couple of hints that they might keep going with it. I hope they don't, but maybe there'll be just like little bits, not maybe not full episodes, but just little bits of little clues of something.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of clues, we got more clues of what's going on. It seems as though Wanda has made a reality of her own to grapple with the trauma she's dealt with in her life, right? Am I wrong?
Who else is scared of hell of Wanda right now?
Yeah, me. Just to backtrack, her trauma is fairly realistic. It's not the word, but it's realistic. If for someone to be hurt by all that she's gone through, her family was killed by a Stark bomb. Her and her twin brother were experimented on by neo-Nazis. She has powers that she wasn't ever too sure about. I think that's the vibe we're supposed to get. She lost her brother to, you know, an evil entity. She didn't have really time to grieve, it didn't seem like. And then before she fell in love, which could very well be a good replacement for that grieving. And then she loses Vision. So, I mean, that's enough. That's a lot for someone to handle. So would someone try to build a reality to block out all the pain? That makes sense. That part to me is realistic, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think people do that anyways, just without magic backing it up.
Exactly. They put up these mental blocks.
Folks do it. They just don't have super, which is kind of like one of the things, it's always in the back of my mind sometimes when I watch superhero shows, right? Like how scary this world would be to live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you do have, right? Like you do have folks that could do that.
And I can't blame them. I don't blame her for this. But at the same time, you're right. She is scary. So, and we get Monica Rambeau is her name. I butchered it last week. Apologies to the big fanboys who probably would want to murder me for doing that. Monica Rambeau. So she gets thrown out by Wanda. She got sucked into the world by investigating it. And she gets thrown out. So I'm with her. She says it's all Wanda. And I'm with her that Wanda is pretty much the villain, right? She's going to be this, not relatable, but she's a villain you can understand.
You'd think Monica, at this point in her career, would know you don't just walk up to something and touch it.
I saw that criticized from a critic. And I'll tell you this. They also made the point that the second time they watched it, they noticed that it was more of Monica was drawn to it.
Because I wondered, because the FBI agent, whose name I can't remember.
Jimmy?
Sorry.
Jimmy Woo?
That's right. Jimmy, thanks. He gets around, doesn't he?
So Natalie, how much of you is like, yes, it's realistic that an FBI agent would be here, but is it the FBI agent that was in San Francisco 5 years ago? I mean, how much of you are you just happy that they're using their characters?
Yeah, you know, at this point, I think so, there's so many little things in like the timeline and in travel inconsistencies. It's like, who cares? We're just happy to see our old pals again.
It's nice that he has something to do other than being, you know, Ant-Man's parole officer. Right. So, like he finally graduated from that assignment.
Hey, look at us. Look at us. No, I'm a fan of them bringing, use the characters you've got. These are actors that are on your payroll, I guess, or under contract somehow. Bring them in, use them. They're great. They're funny. I will, speaking of funny, I will say that the jokes didn't really land for me in this episode. I was much more intrigued with unwrapping some of the mystery and figuring out what the town was or wasn't. And the jokes just, I didn't find them that funny. So I think that's one critique I have of this particular episode.
Yeah, I think that was my, not much of a beef, but a slight beef, a lean beef, I guess, with the Darcy character.
Yeah,
she's always there for just like the sarcastic whatever quip, and it's just like, this is not the, read the room, Darcy. We want to know what's actually happening.
It's kind of like, there's a reason the Thor movies forgot you were around.
Right. They only got better when she went away.
I'm not disagreeing on that point. So anybody that's sarcastic in real life would eventually get told off.
Right. I would know too.
So there is some speculation online on whether the acting head of S.W.O.R.D., whom we met when Monica came back into existence, she went to her old job at S.W.O.R.D., which apparently exists now. We didn't really know about it until this episode. That's fine. Whatever. I've got no problem with that. But what about this acting head of S.W.O.R.D. being possibly manipulated or not on the up and up?
Sorry, I have to ask a question that this is something I should probably know. Where did S.W.O.R.D., is S.W.O.R.D. like the new version of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is that what this is?
A little bit. I think maybe it stands for something different than it stands for in the comics. They're more of like observe. Yeah. So basically, yes, they're observing unnatural events.
Gotcha.
So that does seem to be the case, right? Donovan, do you know more about S.W.O.R.D.?
Yeah, they're sort of like an answer, right? S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. Right.
Put that together.
It's sort of like a related. Yeah, I don't know what it is in the MCU. It seems like they were focused on extraterrestrial threats a la Captain Marvel in the MCU. And they've been retooled with, you know, current events.
We get that from the acting director, who says that they kind of were built off of Monica's mother and her encounters with Captain Marvel and all the space stuff. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
And I think it's pronounced S.W.O.R.D. I was going to say,
presumably this guy is only the acting director, because Trump didn't have hardly anyone confirmed.
That explains why he's only acting for 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this nightmare universe.
I mean, there's your villain, for Christ's sakes. So we get, I've seen some message boards here and there that talk about the possibility of Wanda being controlled even by someone beyond her, that she's like, there's this devil kind of figure who's had a hand in some of this. You guys know anything about that?
Nope.
Is that a Mephisto?
That's him.
That's, I only know the name and the fact that, and I don't know if this will happen, so I doubt this needs a spoiler alert, but I think Wanda's children, when they end up disappearing, they reappear as like Mephisto's arms or something really weird and traumatizing.
All I know about Mephisto is that he tricked Spider-Man into not being married.
What a bitch.
We've all been there.
Wait, being tricked into not being married or tricking Spider-Man?
Take your pick. My ground is covered. Okay, so Mephisto could play a role, could not. But here's the thing. We've got these, Darcy and her crew that she's come in and taken over. They've got their classic serial killer board. They just need to connect the dots. They need to put up some lines, I guess. But they've got the idea going that these people in the fake town are actually real people in real life. Am I right? Real people in the MCU life, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not have Catherine Hahn's character on the board. Is that correct?
I didn't see her. They didn't call her out.
Yeah, maybe they just haven't figured it out yet.
I mean, there's supposed to be, what, 2,000 people in the town? 2,000 to 3,000 people?
It's 3,298, and there's speculation that number is significant.
Okay.
3,298. I think I saw that.
Well, isn't that how many years it's been since the creation?
That's good, man. But no, it's 2021.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did not. We did not really see Catherine Hahn today, although I did have fun with, you know, it would be good if I looked a damn thing up before I came up on this podcast. Okay. The woman who plays Monica Rambeau.
Her last name is Paris.
Yeah. I liked her quite a bit, actually.
She's fantastic.
I wasn't really sure what we were going to see.
Her last name is Paris, so we could just maybe call her by her last name to be respectful enough to even mention her.
I liked her.
I do too. She's fantastic. We'll get her name down soon, next week maybe. Dead Vision scared the bejesus out of me for like a split second.
Great.
Oh, yeah. That was horrifying.
You know, another moment that I kind of, not that it's like great or groundbreaking, mm-hmm. but I really liked when the guy is climbing up through the sewer system. And his hazmat suit becomes a beekeeper's outfit.
Right, yeah.
And he just goes.
Yeah, he never comes back. That could play a role next week, you know, for continuing some speculation.
Yeah, Dead Vision was pretty horrific. I mean, I think we're meant to understand that he really is dead.
Yes, he is. Now, will she be able to bring him back or not? We don't know. Like back to the reality that Monica and Jimmy and Darcy are all in. So we don't know.
Hard to root against Paul Bettany.
In the comics, though, there is like a version, like I think they call it like Pale Vision or something.
Oh.
Where he does come back without the stone. I don't know the details of it. I just know that there's another version of Vision.
I'm with Donald. You got to bring back Paul Bettany. He's really cool. All right. That's basically our real loose speculative discussion on WandaVision. There are five or six episodes, I suppose, remaining. I think they're doing nine. So there you go, people. Yeah, we'll take a break. And after the break, we're going to talk about the challenge. Maybe we could get Natalie to stick around a little and bring back Adam. So let's take a break. Hey, folks, as you may know, you can get any Alabama Take apparel on our very own T Public store. Get there by visiting thealabamatake.com, clicking on shop, and then finding the T Public link there. As always, our coverage of the challenge continues on the site, as well as other musings you can find to entertain yourself while the days whittle away in pandemic. And if you like what you hear and what you read, by all means, subscribe to this podcast, rate us, and drop us a short review. If you do that, we'll call you by name in our next episode. Thanks, as always. Let's get back into the show.
Wait, we'll call you by name.
We'll call you by my name.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Thank you, Blaine, for tuning in.
What a raw deal. Don't give us money. It's going to feed Blaine's, you know, I don't know, maniacal delusions or whatever he's got over here.
I have none. I was just checking my phone to see if we got any recent reviews on Apple, just to double check if I needed to call anyone out. So, Adam, is Natalie nearby still?
She's not.
Okay. Well, just to hell with her. All right. Adam and I, though we're not strangers to talking about the MTV staple, The Challenge, we're going to devote a little bit more time. We're going to devote a segment this week to some of the discussion of that because of this week's high drama on Wednesday's episode, last Wednesday. Okay? And I'm going to toss questions and maybe argue with you.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe not. I might agree a lot. Here we go.
We could argue. It could be fun.
I know, because I do think you and I have different points of view on a few people and a few events of late. Let's start with Teresa.
Okay.
You buying her stock?
Teresa's a tough one because, as you know, I am prone to root for the classic characters. And Teresa, when I saw her name on the cast list, I was excited because she was a great competitor. In years past, she usually brought some drama. And I think there's something to be said for the current, and I could see our notes. I know what we're going to get into, and this is not informed by that. But
okay,
there does seem to be a bit of a divide between people who went through casting for the real world and the people that they bring on now. I think, and this is something that critics of newer seasons have noted, including cast members. I've heard... Bananas say that they were just more interesting people back in the day versus, you know, these people who were maybe were great on an athletically based show would not have been cast initially on a Real World season and didn't go through those things. And I think somebody like Teresa brings a lot more personality to the program than a lot of these other girls do. So I was excited to see her come back. Now, what she's done since getting there, I'm a little iffy on. She was kind of wallpaper there for a few episodes, and now that she's making moves, she's kind of let herself get stranded in no man's land.
What was she like in past seasons? She was, I think, a major player in the seasons where I tuned out.
She was. She actually ran a final with Leroy on X's 2, so they have history. They did not complete the whole season together, but when Leroy's partner was given the old boot from the show for inappropriate behavior close to the end, she came in, and she actually, her and Leroy had to go into elimination right before the final against Nani and Bananas. And Teresa and Nani, it was like a pole wrestle kind of thing. It was this X, this iron X, and yes, it was who can take it from the other one. And it got pretty down and dirty. I mean, it was like, yeah, it was like knees to the face when they could get them, and just like pretty, a lot of gamesmanship going on. No love lost between Nani and Teresa. So I've been waiting for, and if you've read TD's thoughts every week, the ones that we tack on, this is 2 weeks in a row for me where I've said, I think Nani is the one behind Teresa's current predicament. I think this is Nani's payback. This is the first time they've been around each other since 2014 or 15.
So does she need to put all her wrath on Teresa? Is that, I have opinions. I'm going to let you answer. What do you think, Ant?
I think Cam is, I like Cam a lot. When she first came on, she got picked on like a lot of rookies do. Not picked on. They liked Cam. They seemed to like Cam. But, you know, she got thrown in over and over again. And she kept coming back. And she even noted when she started getting thrown in, she's like, I didn't train for this at all. Like, I'm not physically prepared. I maybe like ran a few times before leaving home and that's it. And she just kept winning and kept winning and kept winning. And now it's like she's a physical force during these challenges. And at the time, I mean, she was bigger than most of the other girls and athletic. I think she made the finals that season and did not do well in the final, but did well enough that it's like, oh, she's got a bright challenge future ahead of her. A lot of people rooting for her. She made the final in War of the Worlds 2, but that was part of a team. So I think she's underperformed. And a lot of her bravado, I guess, I'm tiptoeing because I'm a fan and I don't want to trash anybody for being confident, especially on reality TV. But, and especially like a female who's openly confident, I feel like that gets shit on a lot. And it's easy to shit on that in culture. You have certain expectations societally around that are garbage. I do think I'm confused this season why she's so mad at Teresa. I guess she feels like she got blindsided, but they all have to go in, right?
I disagree with that. I disagree with Cam saying that she got blindsided. To me, the conversation Teresa had where she brought to her, hey, look, there's a possibility you're going to get sent in if you want it. That's a heads up to me. You know, it's like be ready kind of thing.
I think the deals that they're trying to cut are they walk into the arena and they kind of look at what they think it's going to be and then they say yes or no.
Like, and we didn't get that on camera, did we?
I don't think so. And I think Cam may have even said this week that she said no. I don't know what's going on with that. It was, you know, apparently they had footage that they didn't show, for instance, that they showed this week of Fessy asking Tori to go in. He says really quick, it's physical, I want to go in. That's back a few moves ago when he went in against Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm still confused because everybody, you know, last year or last season, there was a spirit of camaraderie in the house in a sense because they knew they were all going to have to go in.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of trying to do each other favors, but it hadn't gotten to the point where people felt entitled to go into different kinds of eliminate, which seems to be the case this year.
Our friend and guest before, Ben Flanagan, has talked about on our Instagram post how, why are they acting like this? He brings up the question. you know, they all have to go in. Why are they getting so resentful about being sent in at this point? Maybe early on it was different, but now we're kind of at the midpoint. There aren't a lot of skulls left.
Right. Most of the time they seem to structure these seasons in three acts. And I think whatever happens with Teresa, she's getting so much screen time. I assume she's probably going home next week or the weekend, depending on if it's another guy's or if it is a girl's again. If she survives much longer, I would be shocked, because this seems to be the main event of the middle act, kind of her downfall. It's a tough road for her to get to the end now, though I do think there may be enough people playing this like individuals instead of like teams, where some people are so locked into that partner mindset. You know, Devin is playing it really well, trying to kind of, I think he would use the line chaos as a ladder if he were forced to, and that show hadn't ended so terribly. But it's kind of like a competition of who sees the big picture right now and who doesn't. So Teresa could survive. I don't know. She'll have to sit out next week, right? Because she's now the rogue agent. So she could, I don't know, if people watch on Wednesday and don't listen to our pod until after that, we're going to seem like fools trying to guess what's going to happen this week.
Yeah, but, for sure.
I don't know. Maybe she survives. I don't know.
I'm going to open the floor for you and let you just go off on Josh. He's dumb, but do you ever root for him?
No, I've never rooted for Josh ever. I think he's the worst. I mean, that dude, there's got to be, the only nice thing that I could say about Josh is I'm sure that he's like a gentle, good-hearted dude when he's at home. Mm-hmm. And he gets in these situations where he puts so much pressure on himself. There are some people who seem to enjoy the show for what it is, like a competition. Mm-hmm. They go to cool places. They hang out with people. They get competitive. But this new crop of folks, I think he thinks a lot about, like, I'll go to get my Instagram followers up, and like trying to build like a whole world outside the show. There's so much pressure on himself. I don't know. He's just, I would guess that Josh could use a little bit of a break, you know? He's a guy who should put the phone down and maybe go on a retreat somewhere or something.
He did garner a bit of my sympathy for a week last season, where I guess they got some footage of Josh and his family. And it was, they painted it as if his family life might have been kind of hard.
I think a lot of these folks come from, if not bad backgrounds, tough backgrounds. I mean, CT comes from, his brother was shot. You know, he's not from like an easy childhood. A lot of them aren't. And I guess you got to ask, like, what, it's kind of like sports in a way, you know, like what motivates someone to just bust their ass for years to be a professional athlete. And sometimes that's coming from a rough place. I mean, what causes people to say, I'm going to try to hit this home run shot and win Big Brother or win the challenge?
What the hell is Big Brother?
I hate it. I don't hate the show. I hate that the show is now intruding upon our little utopia of chaos.
What is it though? Like, they gather in a house and what's they vote people off? It's like Survivor but in a house? Is that?
I think so.
Yeah.
There are like lame physical components to it. Donovan, do you know at all? Have you ever watched Big Brother?
Once, probably when I was 12 or 13. All I really remember from it is like everyone's in a house, right? And the idea is like we're watching everything all the time.
Right. There's like three episodes a week. And I think you can go online and watch them 24 hours a day.
I think there's some kind of, I think there are some kind of challenges, but you know, this is not my, who would want to watch this? Sorry to all of our dedicated Big Brother fans out there.
Weren't you a contestant at one point on Big Brother?
That's why I'm so scarred.
Yeah. Okay.
Everyone saw my little wiener.
Okay. So Fessy's from Big Brother, and I am a fan.
Why are you a Fessy fan?
Okay. I talk about this a lot of times in our writing. I know some people listen to the podcast, but don't read a lot of the site, and some people vice versa, maybe read. But so I'll just lay it out here. He is, and this is going to turn a lot of people off, I know, but to me, he's like this Tim Duncan figure. If you remember Tim Duncan's days at the Spurs, he was big, talented, but it was just very unemotional. And I just appreciate that so much when you go in. It's I appreciate someone who comes in and just and punches the clock. Now, Fessy's not quite that unemotional, but
I feel like that's Leroy for most of his seasons. He's been more emotional this season and has kind
of
like...
Because of Cam, maybe?
Yeah, I think he's probably a little more aggressive and out there. And he said on camera, this is going to be his last season. So, but most of the time, he is quietly navigating through the house and a very good physical competitor. Mm-hmm. Never won the whole thing, unlike Tim Duncan. But Fessy, I think... Fessy draws a lot of attention to himself.
How, though? I mean, he's only been on two seasons in both of those I've watched, and I don't see it, really.
I think he really wants everybody to know how good he is. Like, he kind of says stuff like, you can't beat me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. More this season.
More this season, but, you know, you don't want to see me in a final, all that kind of stuff. He said that to Kyle this week. Kyle beat him in the final. Last time.
He did.
Fessy looked miserable. Kyle was fine. Mm-hmm. I think that he runs his mouth a little too much. And I think, again, this is a guy who physically is great for the show. You know, he's dominant. He was a great D1 athlete. I mean, he set records at UT Chattanooga. Probably got an okay look at the NFL. Didn't work out for him. There have been multiple guys of that. That's kind of their story, that they played college ball and didn't make it pro, and so they went on the challenge. But
yeah,
he's probably, there was a few linebackers that did that, wide receivers, that kind of thing. But a big tight end, that's an imposing presence on the show. I mean, even when he stands next to CT, and CT has always been like the gold standard of the giant human being on the show, and he dwarfs CT. Mm-hmm. So that's really something. But I think he maybe is not the most, back to that idea of they're not casting the most interesting people anymore. You know, Fessy is not, he's not that funny. He's not that insightful in his confessionals. And that used to be a really big part of the show, is that everybody had something to say.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of there. I mean, if you watch like on Pluto, you know, they show all these old seasons all the time. He would have gotten eaten alive in some of the old golden eras of the program socially.
Okay. That sounds, I mean, I don't disagree with any of that. I just appreciate that most of the bluster does not come from him. And I did not like, another thing that really set me on his side more is I was okay with Devin. I mentioned this in my writing. I was okay with him. He kind of had a roller coaster couple of weeks for me. I was like, this guy needs to go. Nah, he's okay. I understand his game. But now I'm, when he went after Fessy for no particular reason, albeit you're right, Fessy has said, you don't want to go up against me. I mean, yeah, he said those kinds of things, but everybody seems to have. I don't know. When Devin did that, I just became really excited for the possibility of a Fessy and Devin elimination.
Devin has seen some big dogs in the elimination before, and if he draws the right knight, if it's a puzzle or if it's something like that, he'll take him out. So... it's not always great to, as I say, go down in the sand against Devin. Devin's he may be the most polarizing figure on this season. Even Wes has cooled off a bit in those turns. He's not the same guy that he was as a young man.
And he's gone.
And he's gone now. But Devin, like when Bananas is on, he has some superpower to get under his skin. You know, it's like that. We all have those people that it's just like...
I tell you what, that... I should have took advantage of a segue earlier. You're talking about big people who don't really get the job done or who aren't that interesting. Nam and Lolo, you gave me your thought. I think you wrote this, but you also have mentioned it before to me off mic about how they're the most, what?
Underachieving team in challenge history.
Yeah, I mean, man.
She is literally an Olympian.
A gold medal winner, right?
Yeah, in summer and winter. 7 foot. he won some show called Beastmaster, which I don't know what that is, but I assume it's some like physically insane program.
And it's where you have to fight a beast.
I think so. It's like a succession of animals that you have to
fight a beast.
Yeah, fight. What else would you do?
Look, I'm not a TV executive.
You have to either fight or control a beast. All I know is the Beastmaster movie from 82. So,
needless to say, they physically he looks like he ought to be like a dominant force, right? He ought to be like a he's not as big as Fessy, but he's a big dude. Seems to be in pretty good cardio shape, so this running wouldn't be a problem. Lolo, obviously, physically dominant. Now, when she Should was be. On her Champs versus Pros season, kind of the little off-season show that they filmed a couple times.
Is this the one where CT chewed out Terrell Owens and almost made him cry?
Yeah. It's just incredible.
Love it.
Same thing, same season. She was an awful teammate. Just awful. They went and played like touch football or something just to kill time. And she was so competitive that even amongst a group of hyper-competitive people, she was just the worst. So I'm surprised she hasn't, maybe she's chilled out a little bit or she understood what she was getting into. I thought that she would go batshit crazy once she got locked in the house with these people, but also win a bunch of challenges. And she just hasn't so far.
Hasn't done either of those much. Yeah. So apparently maybe Ultimate Beastmaster and it's on Netflix is what Nom has been on. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Damn if I know. So, all right, let's start to wind down. We both are huge CT fans. If you couldn't have already, you know, figured that out. He had a little bit of screen time this week, not a lot, but he did have a little with the Liberations. Teresa kind of trying her best to include him in the anger of the house.
That was amazing. His ability to, at this point in his challenge career, he went through a bunch of seasons where every guy in the house, when they got there, they said, we have to get rid of CT. Like, that was the objective the entire time. And this was kind of like the golden age of the challenge with a lot of guys who physically would be dominant in the house now. And they weren't able to do it. I mean, he's just like bulletproof. It took him all season to finally get rid of him. So when Teresa tried to drag him in, he is so good at just slipping into the background again. That's where he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie told me that Darrell has said him and CT were working together as much as they could on this season. But since they were by far the most tenured people there, they didn't even hang out in the house because they didn't want the younger guys to know that they were looking out for each other.
That's interesting.
If they'd been seen drinking coffee in the morning, it would have been like, oh, that's what's happening there.
I got you. Oh, I hope that plays out. I like both those guys.
Darrell's another guy. I mean, he is hyper-dominant, or has been in the past. I wouldn't mind seeing a late run out of him.
Yeah. The bad news for CT is that the previews for next week, which if listeners listen to us on Tuesday, it'll be tomorrow night. Big T, CT's partner, seems to be very upset about not doing well, or maybe CT is very upset about her not doing well. So not a promising look.
It's not a good, they're a good early season pairing. And he's a great motivator of partners. He has pulled dead weight a long way before, but it's going to come to a head at some point.
Yeah, I think CT, if he's going to be successful, he's going to have to change partners if he plans on getting to the final and doing well in the final. That's my opinion. So who do you think wins and why? Real quick, mid-season-ish prediction. We'll see how your prediction plays out. Have at it.
This sounds like very obvious. Like, of course it works that way. But every week that goes by that CT and Darrell are still on the show, and I would put Kyle into this category as well, the longer they're on, the higher their odds are to make the final.
Though, going by your theory, Kyle has gotten a lot of screen time. So
he has. But he went through the fire, so to speak, and went into elimination and came out and hasn't been on screen quite as much. So maybe they just had to get him through that hump. I don't know. If I had to pick any of those three, I would say CT is the most likely to make it to the end. I think Darrell has a better partner right now.
Yeah.
Who's kind of doing the same thing in terms of laying low and just doing solid in the eliminations. I think one of those two probably going to make it to the end. Kyle has his way of hanging on. In terms of the women, I have no clue. Zero clue. I mean, Lolo could come on late and do really well. I would not. If she makes the final, how do you bet against her there? Unless it goes into, you know, ultimately they are free agents. And there was a season called Free Agents, and they handled it at the end. There were three guys and three girls, and you had a different partner for each leg, each third of the race. And then you did the final part of the race, the final part of the final alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of luck of the draw on if you get paired with someone who's good at the activity that you have to do. So I don't know. Like, if CT makes it to the end with Big T, it's not necessarily guaranteed that he would have to run the final with her.
I got you.
So I have no idea amongst the women. I think Teresa's going to be gone soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cam has a chance to make it to the end. I mean, Leroy also has a good shot to make it to the end. Casey, I don't know.
I'm for the women, I feel really confident with Casey as my pick. I really do. She's good. And for the guys, I'm just going to hope for CT, and if not CT, I'll say Fessy. I still like him.
I think my CT pick is like when I pick Bama, or in my fantasy soccer league, I choose all Manchester City players. It's like, okay, even if I lose,
yeah,
I'm going to be foul about it anyway. So
yeah, there you go.
Why not pile on? I'll go CT. CT's going to win.
There you go. All right. We'll wrap up. Donovan, any final thoughts? Have you quit? Have you bailed on the challenge, Donovan?
I keep forgetting to watch it.
Well,
I have it recorded, and I keep forgetting that I have it recorded. Like, I keep forgetting to watch it.
If you fall behind a few weeks, it's an hour and a half every go. So that's you got a lot of watching.
That's the chunk. That's the I got to leap back in.
Well, it's so binge worthy. So it would be a good Saturday afternoon in Connecticut winter day to watch.
That's true. There's literally nothing else to do.
Yeah. Okay. We appreciate everyone listening. Get in touch with us. We'll be back next week, February 9th, and we will be talking about all sorts of pop culture. I don't know. You let us know. What should we talk about? Talk to everyone later.